on Monday's front page the fail-safe device that failed on the rig in the Gulf. Minutes after the initial blowout back in April, the crew tried to seal the well and save the day. The device that was supposed to do that didn't. Israel is easing its blockade on Gaza. That drew praise from the Obama administration. And a look at novelist John Updike's private archive. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. On Monday's front page, why the failsafe device on the rig in the Gulf didn't do what it was supposed to do. The device is called a blind shear ram. It was supposed to cut through the pipe and seal the well. The crew activated it minutes after the blowout back in April that sent oil spewing into the water. It didn't work. It was weakened by hydraulic fluid problems. Monday's Times says it turns out the Minerals Management Service had repeatedly failed to take action when its own experts warned about that problem. Documents and interviews also indicate the Obama administration failed to consider blowout preventers' potential problems before it announced plans in the spring to expand offshore drilling. Israel is easing its blockade on Gaza. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu announced the changes in Jerusalem with Mideast envoy Tony Blair. The reaction from the White House was immediate and positive. It said President Obama would meet with Netanyahu on July 6th. That's rescheduling a meeting that was canceled after last month's deadly commando raid on a pro-Palestinian flotilla. In the last year, China has pushed through labor laws signaling the authorities will no longer tolerate poor conditions in the workplace. Even so, worker unrest is increasing. The new labor laws raised expectations but left workers relatively powerless by Western standards. Now the communist-run legal system can't cope with the volume of labor disputes. Also, enforcement slowed down after the global economic crisis hit China and factories started closing. Hospitals say many patients, particularly older ones, are experiencing inexplicable disorienting episodes. Doctors call it hospital delirium. It's not clear what causes it. There are many apparent triggers, including infection, surgery, pneumonia, and procedures like catheter insertions. Some experts say delirium can even contribute to death by weakening patients or leading to complications like blood clots. You might call this rabbit revised. Novelist John Updike, who died last year at age 76, left behind an archive that promises to unlock his secrets. Sam Tannenhaus of the Times got an early look at it. It shows Updike at age 19, already determined to take American fiction in a new direction. The archive also shows Updike at age 28, fighting a censorship struggle with his publisher. Inside Monday's Times, the Kabul Women's Garden in Afghanistan used to be a famed oasis of freedom, 8 closed-off acres where women didn't have to wear burqas. They could also work out in a gym or eat at a restaurant where the pizza chefs are women, too. The garden is now getting a $500,000 facelift. Most of the money pays laborers who are doing landscaping and raising the walls higher. In Baghdad, a pair of car bombs went off at the same time outside a major bank. 26 people were killed and 52 were wounded. It was the second attack on a government financial institution in 8 days. There was no immediate claim of responsibility, but an insurgent group with ties to Al-Qaeda in Mesopotamia has said it was responsible for a raid at Iraq's central bank in Baghdad last week that killed 15 people. A separate bombing killed 3 police officers in Tikrit. That was Saddam Hussein's hometown. In Japan, in contrast to the U.S., online journalism isn't posing a threat to the mainstream news media. The online newspaper Janjan News tried. It ran articles written by readers who took on taboo subjects like whaling and the media's collusion with the government. But Janjan News never really caught on with readers or with advertisers, although it lasted longer than 3 other online newspapers. All 4 have now shut down or scaled back operations. Here in New York, the MTA is looking for more cuts in subway and bus service, $3.7 million worth to be precise. They'd take effect in the fall and winter. They're separate from a far larger round of service cutbacks that's scheduled for next week. The MTA is facing a $400 million budget gap. Last week, it agreed to restore discounted fares for students. That quieted angry parents, but could add millions to the shortfall. In September, New York University will open a campus in Abu Dhabi. The freshman class will have 150 students from 39 countries. Eventually, it'll have 2,000 undergraduates. It's not going to be a branch campus of NYU, but a full-fledged school issuing its own diplomas. Monday's Business Day section says local television stations have kept quiet about the planned merger of Comcast and NBC. Monday is the deadline for submitting comments to the FCC. Times reporter Brian Stelter says local stations aren't saying much because they fear Comcast wrath. It's already the nation's biggest cable provider. The concern is Comcast marketing power could hurt stations that compete with NBC affiliates. Also in Monday's Business Day, Congress is rushing to complete the financial regulation bill this week. The banking industry is trying an 11th-hour end run. Lobbyists are pushing to undercut a central element of the overhaul. The Volcker Rule is named for former Federal Reserve Chairman Paul Volcker. It would force banks to sell off their hedge funds and private equity units. Senate negotiators are leaning toward giving banks exemptions so they could operate those businesses as investment funds that hold only clients' money. That's our preview of Monday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.